Okay, we'll do a very quick parsha. There's a lot to talk about. Okay. I spoke to Ari the other day about this. Chet HaEgel. What was the big chet? What was going on? Right, all the mafarshim are bothered, and there's various different theories of what really was the chet behind Egel. And people can't fathom the idea that Har Sinai could have been the previous day, and suddenly, a few days ago, and suddenly, after just 40 days, they've fallen so far. So the truth is that it's not really a kasha, because all the amazing experiences and inspiration, if it just remains as inspiration, then you don't take it with you. That's going to be very, very inspired one day. And then if it doesn't turn it into real growth, real change, and he doesn't change his ashkafas and he doesn't change his patterns, so all the inspiration one day is totally lost within a few days. Okay, that's something we should all recognize as a tzius. And that's really what happened here. It's true. The previous day they'd had Har Sinai, or previous 40 days earlier they had Har Sinai, but it was lost. Be very, very careful to turn inspiration into to real metzias. There's a line in Shir HaShirim, as they say, Im Itorari. How's it go?
Which one?
Itorari Adshe Techbat. So the Bali Musa would say that in order, if you have a hisoirus, if you are all inspired by something, so don't do anything until you turn into a chayfet, until you concretize it into something where you can hold on to it and move forward with it. Right? Whenever you have inspiration, realize this is a moment of inspiration. Let me do something with it. Let me come up with put it somehow pragmatically into my life, so I can walk on without inspiration, or else moments of inspiration are totally lost. Okay, that's an important point. So now, the Mepharshim try and discuss, but still, outright Avodah Zarah, and Aaron HaKohen, what was he up to? So the Ibn Ezra and the Kuzari both have a almost identical explanation of the Chet HaEgel. And they say that basically Klal Yisrael were desperate for some physical focus to the Avodah Hashem. Ideally, the nature of Kodesh Baruch was being totally transcended out of this world. They're not limited to any place, right? He's a makom. Kol olam makomo, ben olam makomo. Hu makomo shel olam, ben olam makomo. Right? So he's outside of this world, and the world is just exists somehow within his ratzon. Meant that ideally it should have been kol makom shel eskiyot shemisha mavo verachticha, that kol makom shel eskiyot shemisha. There's no place to serve Hashem. Should have simply been understood anywhere and being connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There shouldn't have been a need for a Mishkan. There shouldn't have been a need for Chafatzim of Kedusha, for Korbanos, all these things. Just the recognition of who Hashem is. But that wasn't possible. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu recognized human mentality and human nature, that we need to somehow focus our avoida in a place and within a physical surroundings, right? According to the Sforno has a beautiful introduction to the Torah. It's usually printed at the beginning of Sefer Shemot, called Kavanat Ma'amah HaTorah, where he describes how the Torah is really a reactionary, a lot of the mitzvahs of the Torah were reactionary to Klal Yisrael's changing nature. That ideally there would have been a Mishkan. And when we sinned, the response was, okay, you need some sort of a physical focus, so I'll give you the Mishkan. Okay? So the Sforno develops that idea very, very nicely and talks about how different stages in he's the extreme version of Rashi, that the Mishkan only came as a response to the Chet HaEgel. Once we demonstrated that we needed so much a physical focus, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, so I'll give you a physical focus in the form of the Mishkan, which is the legitimate way of doing it. So the Ibn Ezra and the Khazari both basically speak out this idea and say that's what was going on in Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael, we're used to this idea that you focus your avodah in a place and through physicality. And therefore, they searched out for something. When Moshe was gone and they didn't have any person to guide them, they searched out for an object they could focus on. And so why did Aaron come up with the churavim? the kruvim, not the kruvim, the egel was one of the animals that they had seen in the vision of Har Sinai, maybe, because the egel is one of the shaw, is one of the four things that sits at the bottom of Hashem's throne. And that image, let's focus our avodah through this image. Chas v'shalom, they were never intending to do avodah zarah. They knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu around the world, but they needed some sort of physical conduit in which to serve Hashem, right? And the Beis HaLevi says, a very, very important yisod, he says, even when they were given the Mishkan, Hashem was saying, this is the one and only legitimate way of focusing your avodah through a physical means, right? And that's why throughout the Mishkan, it constantly says, kasher tziviticha, kasher tziviticha. If we would take the Mishkan and toy with any of the details, then it would be horrific. Imagine if instead of using chruvim on the Aron Kodesh, we would build, I don't know, an elephant, right? With lots of arms. That would be mamash avodah zarah. Why are the chruvim on top of the Aron Kodesh not the issa d'oraisa of making salamim? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do this. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this way and this way only is the legitimate way, right? When you have chruvim, which are mamas somehow representative of the kisei kavod of Hashem, and you do it in this way just because I told you, and it's not because Hashem told us to do it, then it doesn't fall into the problems of avodah zarah. We were to do it on our own, then it would naturally fall into the world of avodah zarah. Right? It's so close. The moment you start saying that Klal Yisrael can do some sort of avodah zarah Hashem through a physical focus, it becomes very, very close to something problematic. And therefore it's only legitimate when it's the specific way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you. And the basically he says that's why constantly throughout the parasha it says kasher tziviticha, kasher tziviticha. So the Meshech Chochma says an unbelievable thought. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down Har Sinai, he immediately understood the problem. He immediately realized what Klal Yisrael were doing, and they had decided to focus their Avodas Hashem through physical means. And he was holding on to the Luchos Abris that Kodesh Baruch Hu had given him. And he knew what would have happened if he destroyed the Egel and given the Luchos Abris. They would just switch one for the other. That's where they were. What could Moshe Rabbeinu do to show Klal Yisrael that there is no physical thing whatsoever that can be the conduit of Avodas Hashem? So we smashed the Luchos HaBris that were made B'Yad Hashem, which is unbelievable that a man should destroy something a Kodesh Baruch Hu created. Michtav Elokim, but he made that cheshbon that Klal Yisrael could only be saved from the Chet HaEgel by destroying the Luchos HaBris. And that's what he did. He destroyed them. And Klal Yisrael learned immediately what they did wrong. And when we eventually build the Mishkan, the Torah is very, very explicit. Where does the kol come from? Me'ala kaporet mibein shnei akruvim. Not from the kruvim. Not from the Aron HaKodesh, from the empty space. Mi'ala kaporet, mibein shnei akruvim. The call you hear is not from any physical object. It's from the space within. That's what you hear, Hashem. So it's true, you need as a human being to focus your avodah. You stand in the basic Knesset and you face the Aron HaKodesh. You stand anywhere in the world and you face Yerushalayim. But you should never ever think that there's a physical need to go dafka through Yerushalayim. That's why there's not actually that much hakpadah on facing Yerushalayim. If a person davens and he wasn't facing Yerushalayim, a person doesn't know which kivun, then the same thing. He davens to Hashem. You don't need to face Yerushalayim to be able to daven to Hashem. There's a din. But ideally, when you daven, that all of Klal Yisrael should face the same place to Yerushalayim. That's the best way for us to go to Hashem. Because where Hashem set up the world. Right? But it doesn't have to be. the Kadosh Baruch Hu is accessible in every literally every way. It's just this is the best way for us to go. And that's really what Moshe was doing in the Chayte. Right? You have to recognize, I always try to tell these things to Musa board, that we have to recognize with Sadechad that there are certain ideals, certain truths, which you can never, ever compromise on. With Sadecheni, there's a certain reality to human nature. Sometimes you need things which don't fit in with the most ideal way of doing things. The big challenge is knowing where to draw the line, right? Eating lots of sugary sweets because it makes you feel good, so you can focus more on learning. You know, is that legitimate? You know, how about drinking, five caps of caffeinated coffee? How about, you know, you want to get high and you start going into the world of drugs? Or how about how far on the line have you gone before it ends up in an illegitimate world, right? I don't even think to clarify that previous comment. But that's the question. In other words, there are certain times where you know this isn't the ideal, but it's okay because it doesn't contradict the true ideal itself. And there's certain times where you're compromising on the stage of leaving up the ideal actually undermine the ideal itself, right? There's a certain amount of obsession with Gashmias where you're no longer a Ruchani person. And there's a certain amount of giving into Gashmias where you're still a Ruchani person. You just accept. You need food. What can you do? Right? I once heard the name Reddy Ashit. I have no idea if it's actually authoritative. So I heard somebody said, you can eat all the ice cream you like as long as you learn Torah. Right? I was talking about somebody who said, I should be working on my Midas Precious and not eating ice cream, but then I end up, you know, getting a bit obsessed and I start learning as much Torah. I eat all the ice cream you like as long as you learn Torah. So I don't know if it's a justified criticism. It's really, really said it. But that idea of every person has to find the balance is a very, very true thing. And that's really what happened with the Chayte. Okay. Have a good Shabbos. Okay. Sunday morning we'll do Eilu Ve'Eilu. Is that the idea? Yes? You guys want to do Eilu Ve'Eilu or carry on with the next Ikar? Eilu Ve'Eilu. Okay, so Sunday morning Eilu Ve'Eilu, 8:30.